Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 7th episode of the Mason Dixon Sports Podcast. I'm Justin, and joining me this week is Adam.
What's up, guys?
This week we discuss some stories: football, college football, Pirates baseball, racing, and the World Cup of Hockey. Thank you guys and gals for listening to us. Please, if you listen to us through iTunes, please leave a review and let us know how we're doing. If you listen to us through YouTube, please like, subscribe to the channel, and leave us comments. We are also available on TuneIn, so follow and share and leave comments for us on there as well, if that's how you found us. Also, you can send us messages through Facebook at facebook.com, Mason Dixon Sports Podcast, or on Twitter at Mace Dix Sports Pod. You can also send us an email at masondixonsportspodcast@gmail.com. And we'll start off with the Steelers football. Steelers played Monday night against the Washington Redskins and won big 38-16. I was lucky enough that I should be at the game. It looked like it was 50-50 Steelers, if not more Steelers fans than Redskins fans. I don't know. I don't know if you watched it. Did it sound that way to you?
Yeah, I watched the whole game. And I think it's pretty much anywhere the Steelers go, you know. They seem to have a following everywhere. I mean, it's always, there's always a sea of yellow or, you know, black and gold or whatever you want to, you know, call the colors or whatever. But, you know, they definitely have a following, and it definitely showed, I think, on Monday night.
At the pregame, during the national anthem, both the Steelers and Redskins assisted the military holding the flag that covered the whole field up. That was nice to see. Getting to the game, the Steelers didn't look that good in the first... the Steelers' offense didn't look that good in the first quarter and a half, not being able to move the ball at all. The defense kept them in it, holding the Redskins to two field goals. I think the momentum switch was the Redskins had a fourth and I believe eighth, and they decided to go for it instead of kicking a field goal to extend the lead to 9-0. Steelers then proceeded to take the ball down the field and score a touchdown to take a 7-6 lead halfway through the second quarter, and that lead would last the rest of the game.
Yeah, I think you're right about that being the turning point. You know, plus, you know, the offense, I mean, the whole team in general hasn't played together. You know, that's their first time, you know, because preseason's pretty much a joke. So that's the first time everybody's really together. So, you know, give them a quarter or two to, you know, kind of iron things out. And I think they look pretty good after that, so.
I did enjoy Antonio's celebration for the second touchdown. The twerk. But, like they said in Key and Peele, it's the third pump that got him. Unfortunately, he was fined a little over $9,000 for that. And he was also fined $6,000 for his cleats being green.
For his cleats being what?
Green. They weren't the approved color for the Steelers.
Well, I thought the cleats thing was because he had 9/11 cleats on.
No, he was not one of those players. That was some of the guys from the Giants and Jets, and okay, one of the Tennessee Titans. And I don't believe that they get fined then for that.
I mean, as far as his celebration went, I thought it was pretty good. But he did break the rule. The rule is no, you know, sexual movements or whatever with your body. So, I mean, he did break it. So. But, I mean, as far as the cleats, that stuff's getting so ridiculous anymore. They're starting to fine people for so many stupid things. Especially, you know, they have issues with the guys with the 9/11 stuff, you know. And even, like, when they do the cancer stuff with, like, D'Angelo Williams trying to pay tribute to his mom. And, you know, all the other people that are trying to pay tribute to people. What's the big deal? It's on their shoes. It's not like they have something obscene plastered on their chest or on their back where everybody sees it. Half the people probably didn't even know that they had different cleats on. Like, I didn't know Antonio had green cleats on. I didn't pay attention to that.
I couldn't tell at the game. Their cleats.
I mean, especially if they're green, they're gonna match with, they're gonna blend in with the grass. What's the big deal?
Well, we know the NFL stands for no fun league, so.
Exactly.
So moving on to yesterday, the Steelers played the Bengals in the home opener. Managed to win 26-16. It was definitely a defensive game. All right, so Ben didn't have the best days, throwing two picks, though he did throw three touchdowns, none of which was wide receiver, which I know Brown's not too happy about. One was to Jesse James, one was to Xavier Grimble, and one was to D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah, I mean, it was a sloppy game all around. I mean, it was wet, rainy. So it's a tough day for a quarterback to throw the ball around. But even Dalton, you know, he didn't have a good game either. Their best wide receiver, which was A.J. Green, he was held to two catches for like 39 yards, which, you know, A.B. had four catches for 49 yards. So it wasn't, you know, a spectacular game all around. It was one of those kind of in the trenches, you know, on the ground type of game where, you know, we kind of saw where our running game was a little bit more superior than theirs.
Definitely. I think a little bit more a little bit superior. I do know if people have A.J. Green and Antonio Brown for fantasy picks, are probably not too happy with yesterday's game.
Well, I have Antonio for one, and it hurt me, but I managed to pull out a win, so.
That's good. The defense did look good. They were able to keep pressure on Dalton, and they definitely kept the running game to a stop. No sacks, but they did also get two fumbles.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the defense looked pretty good yesterday, especially after you shout out to Ryan Shazier. I mean, he's been playing pretty well, and I mean, he got hurt last week, and you know, I wasn't sure what was going to happen with that because he seems to get hurt a lot, but he seems to, for the most part, be able to shake it off and come back and you know, play another good game next week. So. Hats off to him. Actually, yes. Hats off to the whole defense.
Their next game is on Sunday against the Eagles in Philly. And we will move on to college football. Pitt lost a close one to Oklahoma State, 45-38. That was a game that I think Pitt had the momentum, and then the weather delay kind of hurt them there. Penn State managed to beat Temple 34-27. Number 1 Alabama won against number 19 Ole Miss 48-43 in a close game.
That's kind of surprising. You'd think a number 1 team would do a little bit better than that, but
Ole Miss had the lead for a while. So number 3 Ohio State beat number 14 Oklahoma 45-24. Number 18th ranked Notre Dame lost to number 12 Michigan State 36-28. Moving on to upsets. Kind of sad that Jason's not here to rub this in him a little bit. North Dakota State won against number 13th Iowa 23-21. The game that was really surprised to me, number 10 Louisville put a hurting on number 2 Florida State, 63-20.
Wow, I didn't see that until now. That's definitely shocking.
Nebraska won against number 22 Oregon, 35-32. In the late game on Saturday night, California beat number 11th ranked Texas, 50-43.
So, while we're on college football. Since I wasn't here last week, I believe the week before that we had a bet.
You guys can't see. I'm holding up I have a Murray shirt that I'm holding up.
Let's remind them what this bet was.
So the bet was, and it was 2 weeks ago, and Adam, you know, wasn't here last week, so I have to cash in, was if Pitt managed to beat Penn State, which they did, a lot closer game than I thought it was going to be. I would have to admit that Murray was the better goalie. And Matt Murray, as of this time, is the better goalie.
Wait,
we'll see what happens.
You're breaking up. I couldn't hear that. Can you say it again?
We'll see what happens when the regular season starts. He did look, I will give you this, he did look good last night in the World Cup opener against, they did look good against Finland. He looked good against them, and we'll get more into that later. But yes, Murray, as a recording, is the better goalie.
Thank you. All right, let's move on to some Pirates. This isn't a very good topic again.
Seems to be a theme.
Yeah. Let's go back to last Monday. They started a series against Philly, which they lost on Monday. They beat Philly on Tuesday, and they lost on Wednesday. So another losing series for them. They also played them on Thursday, and they beat them 15-2, which I'm very surprised about. So they actually tied that series. Friday, they started a series against Cincinnati, which they beat Cincinnati on Friday. They had a doubleheader on Saturday, which the Pirates actually won both games. And they lost yesterday. So, I don't have the record right now, but it's not good. They're not going to make the playoffs. So, let's move on.
With that, I don't know how well that how often this would happen in baseball. Would they bring up some guys from their Double A team to give them some experience?
Well, they're already bringing guys up left and right because since they're basically out of it, they've put a lot of guys on injured reserve just because they have some nagging injuries and stuff, just to give them extra time to heal up. Like Gerrit Cole has an arm issue, so they shut him down for the rest of the year. I believe Chris Stewart they shut down with his knee injury. They shut down Jay Hay. So they've been calling up guys left and right. I know one of the guys they called up that I've been trying to watch has been Alan Hansen. He's been one of their top prospects for a couple years. From what I've seen over the past couple games, he's been doing pretty well. But we'll see if that lasts or not, you know. That's the one thing when guys get called up and they're new. It's tough to tell because pitchers don't know anything about them and their tendencies and stuff like that. So once pitchers start to learn about them, you know, that's what determines if a player is going to be good or not, if they can make an adjustment. So we'll kind of see more next year, I think, from these up-and-comers of what they're really going to be.
Okay, well, we'll move, I guess, moving the racing. Normally Jason's topic, but since he's not here, I'll try to tackle it. Start with the Friday night, the Camping World Truck Series raced in Chicagoland. Kyle Busch won the race, Daniel Hemec finished second, and Cameron Haley finished third. Got a chance to watch some of the race. Cole Custer was third place when he had an issue with his rear of his car. Luckily, the smoke that his truck was making brought up the caution. His crew was able to fix it, get him back out there. Unfortunately for him, he would finish 10th and miss the chase. That being said, it's going to be interesting how he handles Nemechek in the chase for the trucks. Moving on to the chase field. William Barone, Matt Crafton, John Hunter Nemechek, Johnny Sauter, Ben Kennedy, Christopher Bell, Daniel Hemric, and Timothy Peters all made the field. Peters and Hemric made it off points. The rest had at least one win. Brett Moffitt also had a win, but due to finishing 23rd in points, will miss chase lineup. Move on to Saturday with the Xfinity Series. Alright, so Saturday, the Xfinity Series race to Chicagoland. Eric Jones won, Kyle Larson finished second, and Elliott Sadler finished third. Their chase is also set. Erik Jones, Elliot Sadler, Daniel Suarez, Ty Dillon, Justin Allgaier, Darrell Wallace Jr., Brendan Gaughan, Brennan Poole, Ryan Sieg, Ryan Reed, Brandon Jones, and Blake Koch are all being the chase. Only Jones, Sadler, and Suarez had wins. Justin Marks also had a win, but due to finishing 24th out of 25 cars, did not make the chase.
It's surprising that only three guys had wins that are in the chase.
Yeah, I think the issue with that is with a lot of the sprint guys coming down and racing, not being eligible.
Yeah, that's true.
Moving on to the sprint. Their first race of their chase was on Sunday at Chicago Land as well. Martin Truex Jr. finished first, Joey Logano second, and Chase Elliott third.
So, Sprint Cup chase isn't set yet?
No, they start. This was the first week of their chase. Okay. They're set at Richmond last week.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't have a chance to really catch up on racing this week, so.
So how the chase works is Sprint Cup starts with 16 cars and works their way down to Homestead, where it's the final four. Xfinity is 12, and the Truck Series is 8. Due to them racing, they have less races.
Right.
Before I read this email, you weren't here last week. So, what were your thoughts on Casey's points for the year getting taken away?
You know, I think he should have been punished for what he did, for saying what he did or whatever, putting stuff on Facebook. But I think the punishment went a little bit too far with banning him from the whole week, and especially taking away all of his points and not recognizing that he was there at all. I don't think he did anything that severe to warrant that punishment. But, I mean, I guess they're trying to set a precedence and, you know, they're trying to not let anybody ruin their name or anything like that, which I don't really think that's what he was trying to do. But, I mean, I have to give him credit because I think he's taking it, you know, the best he can. He apologized, but it's just an unfortunate series of events, I guess.
Also, guys, as of recording this, he is not allowed to race at Johnstown anymore.
I mean, is that official? Like, do we know that?
That's from everything that I was seeing behind the scenes, it looks that way, that he won't be able to go back next year.
I don't understand that at all.
No.
Tell me what he did that was so bad that he can't race there next year or ever or whatever.
I can't think of anything. Moving on, I actually did get a response back from the email I sent last week. Their response to why they did what they did to Casey was the owners found him in violation of the rules of conduct, section 6, G, anyone, be it car owner, driver, crew member, and or family member who was determined to be guilty of unsportsmanlike conduct on or off the track by the race director or competition director, could result in a minimum of 1 week suspension, possible disqualification with loss of all points, money, and trophy for that race date, where all points accumulated to the entire point season, and or a minimum fine of $100 for the first time, $200 for the second time, and $500 for the third time, and a full suspension for the remainder of the season. This applies to the driver and car, as well as the individual involved.
Okay, so, I mean, if that's in the rules, you know, I give them credit for that. It's in the rules, but it didn't say anything about the following year, so where does that come into play?
And they also have in here for Section 6... H, anyone, be a car owner, crew member, or family member, performs active or participates in actions deemed by the officials detrimental to the sport, including but not limited to verbal abuse of any official, could result in minimum 1 week suspension, possible disqualification with points of all points, with loss of all points, money and trophies of that race date, or all points accumulated for the entire points season, and or a fine of $100 minimum. Once again, applies to the driver and the car as well as individuals involved.
Okay, so I mean, I guess I can see where they could suspend him for a week or whatever, take his points away, whatever. I still don't understand how he can't race there next year.
I don't know. Did try to reach out to Casey. He didn't want to give a comment other than he understands the stance that Jennerstown's taking. He just wants to get back to racing.
Well, how is he supposed to get back to racing if they won't let him race? I mean, I know what he's going to do. He's going to go run at dirt and go back to Bedford. But I don't understand it. I don't understand how you can ban someone for a whole year for one comment that they made that they, I mean, if trying to put myself in their shoes, I agree with what they did, especially now after you read me those rules. I agree with that part. But in their shoes, I can also understand why he went off the way he did, because they did single him out. It's not his fault that his car is set up differently than everybody else's car. So why is he getting punished for having a different car? That was legal. And he made it. He did whatever they said they wanted him to change something, so he did. Which caused him to have an accident, which obviously is not going to make him very happy. So he's going to voice his displeasure, which, again, I agree he didn't do it the right way. And then you're going to ban him for a whole year? I mean, I've always loved Jennerstown, but this makes me not exactly want to go back there. And just to let everybody out there know, I'm still thinking about racing next year, but this possibly changes my mind.
Well, I did see there was one driver, I can't even name right now, but he has late model, he has a car pretty much for every division, and he's selling everything.
Yeah.
He's not going back. He's going to dirt.
And you're going to see a lot more of that, I think, because the new rules for next year should be out in a couple weeks. That's going to determine a lot of if people come back or not.
And like I said last week, I mean, unfortunately, the people that raise asphalt, they kind of have by the balls because...
And, yeah, that's what I said earlier this year. I mean, for those of you that don't know, I bought a race car last off season to race this year, and right before the beginning of the year, they changed some rules that I don't agree with, so I didn't race all year. I've had a car that's ready to go sitting in my garage, and I didn't race it one time. And like I said, I'm thinking about possibly bringing it out next year, even though they still have those rules that I don't agree with, but I'm waiting to see what else they change. So... But like you said, they have, if you want to run asphalt, they have you by the balls, because that's the only place within hours, literally hours, that you can race asphalt.
And just to clarify, we're talking about next year. I think it's a permanent ban from what our friend Jason's been hearing. That even makes it worse.
It's just mind-boggling, but we either need to change the topic or something, because I can go on about this for a long time, but...
We'll change it. World Cup of Hockey started this weekend. There was two games on Saturday. First one being Team Europe against Team USA. Team Europe won 3-0. Team Canada also got a shutout win over the Czech Republic. I believe that one was 6-0. So yes, it was 6-0 that the Team Canada won. Yesterday, Team Sweden won 2-1 against Team Russia, and Team North America beat Team Finland 4-1. Today there were two games, or are two games. Team Europe beat the Czech Republic 3-2 in overtime, and as we're recording, Team North America is currently up 1-0 against Team Russia. I got a chance to watch some of the Team North America game yesterday after the football games. They looked all right.
How'd Matt Murray
it's
look?
Nice to see hockey on TV again.
How'd the goalie look?
Oh, other than giving up one goal, he looked up pretty good. It was nice to see Carey Price get a shutout after his roughish game against Team USA last week. It's not looking well for Team USA, but with Tortorella as your coach, you can't expect much. Have you got a chance to watch any of the games, Adam?
No, I haven't been home long enough to see anything yet.
Or some other injuries, but as of everything I'm seeing, nothing that's going to affect the NHL season. Hedrick Lundqvist missed the game yesterday for Team Sweden due to an illness.
I did see today that defenseman Aaron Ekblad is out for Team North America with an upper body injury. I don't think it's anything that's too severe, but
I did see that. I didn't get a chance to look into it because I literally got sent just before we started recording.
Yeah. So, we didn't get any emails, so you should definitely send us an email.
We feel lonely.
But we got a YouTube comment. That's exciting.
Yes, very exciting.
What was the YouTube comment?
The comment was, keep up the good work.
Cool. Thanks.
So we do appreciate that.
Thank you, Richard.
Yes. Thank you, Richard.
Tell all your friends. Tell them to comment. Tell them to email. Tell them to like and subscribe.
Oh, dear Lord. Really need to get YouTube back on the show together. Have you got the chance to play NHL at all yet?
No, I haven't. That's probably what I'm going to do as soon as we're done.
I have it. I have the game. Like you, I got a chance to get the preview, so I played some of the preview. But since I bought the game last week, it's still wrapped.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been playing NASCAR. Surprisingly.
I mean, shame on us. We're the big hockey guys, and and we haven't even played it yet. And it's been out for a week.
Yeah, it's been out for a week. From what I have played of it, it's a good game. I really need to get into the career mode. We need to get our EA Sports Hockey League team out of level zero so I can actually start customizing stuff.
Yeah.
So, and with my player.
So since you've been playing NASCAR and I haven't got it yet, is it worth getting?
I like it. I don't know if it's worth the $60. Especially with, like, Forza Horizon 3 coming out next week.
Right.
I mean, it's a good game. The career mode is interesting. Because you start off, like, with... You don't have the power that Hendricks have or Stuart Haas. You're running for top 20 position. Which is interesting. Jason and I both managed to win at Bristol. Where, you know, having the power doesn't matter. Pretty much you can go out of the way. But for those, like I said, the EA Sports Hockey League, if you guys have NHL 17 on Xbox One and want to join, it's open to the public. It's Mason Dixon Sports. And we will get on and start playing eventually. Hopefully tonight.
Yeah, I should be on more this week and from here on out. So definitely check us out on there.
Anything you want to talk about since we have time?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, on that note, we'll wrap it up. You can follow me on Xbox Live, Twitter, and Instagram at Boost4608.
Oh, my turn. You can follow me on Xbox at EagleHawk44, and you can also, or not follow, I guess, you can play some Xbox with me at EagleHawk44, and you can also find Jason at Edzo608 on Xbox. You can also follow me on Twitter at Slovak044. And my Snapchat is the same thing. Don't look up the same thing. Like, my Snapchat is Slovak044.
Jason's Twitter is JEdzo608. And I believe his Snapchat is also JEdzo608.
His Twitter is TheEdzo608.
Oh. Yes. My apologies. His Twitter is TheEdzo608. And his Snapchat's JEdzo608.
Yep.
Oh, till next week. See you out there.
See you guys.